Let me consider the word now from a different perspective. The word comes to me as God speaking. My response is to see this as gift, as revelation. The Pope writes,
God makes himself known to us as a mystery of infinite love, in which the Father eternally utters his word in the Holy Spirit. Consequently, the Word, who from the beginning is with God and is God, reveals God himself in the dialogue of love between the divine persons and invites us to share in that love, created in the image and likeness of the God who is love.
That is a powerful motive bringing us into union with the God who is love. That it is God calling. We have only to respond. We don't have to initiate the dialogue. And once we say yes to the dialogue, what happens? The Pope again.
In this dialogue with God, we come to understand ourselves, and we discover an answer to our heart's deepest questions. How important it is for our time to discover that God alone responds to the yearning present in the heart of every man and woman. Sad to say, in our days and in the West, there is a widespread notion that God is extraneous to people's lives and problems, and that his very presence can be a threat to human autonomy.
Yes, that negative comment may be true. But until we've had the experience of really penetrating into the Word of God, of giving time to the Word of God, then we are in no position, I would suggest, to be commenting on how deep a fulfillment can come from this revelation. It's very easy, because the two experiences, the God who is outside my life and doesn't care, and the God who is intimately involved with me and offering a future which expands and magnifies my whole being, are two different starting points. But the common denominator between the two is the way of reading the revelation. On the one hand, the word comes across as threat, as a God who is a judgmental, a God who is always trying to limit my freedom. And on the other, this God is a God who's taking my whole being and trying to transform it into something much better than it really is. And those two positions exist. And the common denominator, as I say, is the word. And the problem is that how one responds to the invitation to dialogue.
Each of us is thus enabled by God to hear and respond to his word. We were created in the word and we live in the word. We cannot understand ourselves unless we are open to this dialogue.
And it is precisely that understanding, that presumption, which is at the heart of the problem I articulated a moment ago, those who see no relevance and those who see it is the fulfillment of my life. And we cannot move until we have learnt how to access the revelation. If we think we have the solution to all our problems, then of course it's very difficult to see and understand any other way of solving our problems. If we're always blaming someone else because things don't go right, or we're not getting the jobs we want to have, if we see it purely in terms of one human competing with another, and my life is worthless unless I really fight for it, then, of course, the world in which one lives is not going to be open to the revelation of a different understanding of work, because the word I'm dealing with is a word I understand, I can see where it's going, and I can make my judgments, right or wrong, about those who use it in dialogue with me. But there is another view. And the other view is that the word of God is there to bring about change in ourselves. And the change in ourselves is a very simple one, but a very profound one. Do I control my life totally? And if I say yes, I do, and I'm going to live by that framework, I do what I want to do, or I think I ought to do, and that's it, that's fine. And I cope with the negatives and the positives as part of the roller coaster of life. And when I have to face death, then it is a world without any meaning beyond. It's just the end, and that's all I live for. It is the, if you like, it's a concept of what the Pope calls in his encyclical realism. The realist being the one who just sees life in this world, and that's it. He gives another interpretation to this realism, because he says,
the word of God makes us change our concept of realism. The realist is the one who recognizes in the word of God the foundation of all things. This realism is particularly needed in our own time, when many things in which we trust for building our lives, things in which we are tempted to put our hopes, prove ephemeral. Possessions, pleasure, and power show themselves, sooner or later, to be incapable of fulfilling the deepest yearnings of the human heart. In building our lives, we need solid foundations which will endure when human certainties fail.
And it is that revealed word which is the solid foundation, because it is the foundation which says, this isn't the ultimate answer. There is an answer beyond the reality of the present moment. And the realism we're talking about is a realism which takes us into a world where the word of God is the foundation of all things, not the materialist, humanly created world of the word around us. And it is precisely in that understanding of realism that we find a sense in which the whole of our vision expands. Because I'm now not just coping on my own, in my own world, with my own family, my own options, my own career. I'm now looking at it from a bigger world in which everyone is bounded together. Because all things are dependent on God. All things are there because God has willed them to be there. And the word is what is making sense of this mass of different things going on in our world, whether they're to deal with truths of invention, whether they're to do with moral issues, whether they're to do with entertainment and pleasure, whether they're to do with behaviours or whatever. There is a sense in which the revelation of the word of God gives us a reverence for the created world because of the creating word that made the world possible. If I don't accept that dimension, then I live in a different world and a different environment with a different vision. The two coexist today. But within the Christian dimension, this is a very powerful concept of what the word of God is about. And this leads to another idea which emerges out of the whole understanding of word, which is the opposite of word, which is silence.
God also speaks by his silence. The silence of God, the experience of the distance of the Almighty Father, is a decisive stage in the earthly journey of the Son of God, the incarnate Word. Hanging from the wood of the cross, he lamented the suffering caused by that silence. My God, why have you forsaken me? This experience of Jesus reflects the situation of all those who, having heard and acknowledged God's word, must also confront his silence. This has been the experience of countless saints and mystics. and even today is part of the journey of many believers. God's silence prolongs his earlier words. In these moments of darkness, he speaks through the mystery of his silence.
And that is the silence of our inner being, a silence of not being able to control, of sense of I am being taken over by events. I'm not sure which direction they're going. I stick to what I have learnt from the word. And it is precisely this word which, once spoken and heard in silence, takes on a different understanding. It's not like the words in conversation. It's not like the words in a newspaper or on the television. Heard one moment and gone the next. These are words which are pondered at depth in the silence. And it is precisely in that silence that people can learn to appreciate the distinctiveness of the revelation of the Word of God. And it's by seeing its distinctive, then you see its centrality in the life of being a Christian and the life of the church. That is, we have to discover what it means to have a sense of recollection, an inner calm, trusting in the Word. And it is that depth of experience which gives flesh and gives insight to the Christian notion of realism, that our life is in the hands of God. Because in that silence, in that depth, there is from time to time a sense of love, of being, of union. And that is the fulfillment, the beginnings of the fulfillment of this encounter with the God who speaks to us in the revealed word, inviting us to respond in our own words, or to respond in the words given to us by the inspiration, like the Psalms. But without that dimension of silence, there's always a danger that everything remains superficial. That's why we need to find times and places to be with the Word, in order for the Word to do justice to us, and for us to appreciate that the Word is a journey into something bigger, bigger than ourselves, bigger than the letters that make up the Word, bigger than the sounds. And that something bigger is a notion of love and fulfillment, now, but more especially in the future. Amen.